Lesson this morning, mostly because the scriptures are probably going to fit the title a little bit. If I could title the message this morning, it would be The Unassuming Package. And I have some unassuming verses this morning to read for you. And I'm probably going to read some verses that talk about the birth of Christ. In fact, I will most definitely. But if you'll turn with us to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. The first chapter of the Gospel of John. And we'll start our reading with the 29th verse. John the Baptist would be doing the talking. And we know that John the Baptist was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we know that he was 6 months older than Christ. We know that, as we talked Wednesday night about Elizabeth and how John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb because he was filled with the Holy Ghost, even as a little baby in his mother's womb. We know that many times the prophet spoke of one that would come before Christ to be the forerunner, to be the one that would set up the church, and I believe that John did that. But John many times had to face questions about whether he was the Christ. And he would always say, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one that you're looking for. In fact, the one that comes after me will be the one that you're looking for." Now you see, in times of old, the firstborn son was always the one with the birthright. He was the one that everything was given to. But that wasn't the case this time. John said this in the 29th verse of this chapter. He said, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said." Now John was talking to some Pharisees and some Sadducees. And they were asking, why was John baptizing here at the River Jordan? And he told them why, that they could be baptized. And they asked, of whose authority could he baptize in? And I don't know if John was looking down or maybe working with his hands. Have you ever had someone come up to you and you looked up and you said, "Oh, look who it is"? And as he told them about who he was talking about, maybe he was looking down and all of a sudden he looked up and here comes Jesus. And he says, "Behold, it is the Lamb of God that takes away our sins." Now I want you to turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew and the first chapter. Now there's going to be some scripture that echoes the very same thing that John says. And as I thought about these verses of scripture, and I thought about what that they said, I thought about how John wasn't even there as the angel spoke to Joseph. But yet it's the exact same message that he teaches. The first chapter of the book of Matthew, talking about the birth of Christ. John actually doesn't give an account of the birth of Christ. But there's an account of Christ and God Himself being the first. And I still believe this morning that our God is the beginning and the end. The 18th chapter said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold..." Again, "look, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now I want you to understand just one thing this morning, if I could look at it for just a few moments. As I told you, our title this morning is The Unassuming Package. Now, if you're in my family today, and as we gather together to open some presents, some of you all are going to be in for some surprises. I like to wrap things so you can't figure out what they are. And maybe I'll wrap something in a big old package, and you want that thing because it's the biggest one under the tree. But in it may not be the biggest thing that there is.
Or maybe I'll take something else and I'll wrap it up. And it looks really strange. There's one under the tree for someone in this room today that they're probably going to be a little shocked about how it's wrapped or what's in it. But that's okay. It's an unassuming package. I don't like to do things so that you know what you're getting. But you see, in the times of old, they were speaking about a Christ, a sacrifice, something that would come to take away sins. You talk about a king. You're talking about someone that would be the atoning sacrifice for the entire world. You know what the Jewish people were looking for? They were looking for someone who was royal, who was regal, who would come with trumpets blaring and maybe the red carpet rolled out for him. They were looking for a king, a king's king that there had ever been. And you think about old Herod over there in those scriptures. He was the king of Israel. And he thought, I've heard about this king. And you know, these people, they knew these prophecies. They knew all about them. They had been told of them. From their youth up, they had known that there was someone who was supposed to come. And if you're a king, you don't like that. You don't want someone to take your place. And old Herod got a little scared. You remember what he told the Magi? He said, you go and you find the child. And then when you find him, you bring him back to me so that I can worship him. Do you think his intentions were to worship that child? No, no, no. He was going to destroy that child so Herod, his kingdom, would last for his name. But there was an unassuming package that came. As I thought about the unassuming package, they looked for something greater than what they were given. They looked for a sign. They looked for explosions. They looked for all of these things so that they would know that their king was there. But the scriptures is full of things that would point us to Jesus Christ Himself. Turn with me to the book of Micah. As I thought on these verses of scripture, I thought, how could they not know that the Son of God had come? The fifth chapter of the book of Micah says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Didn't that come to pass? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace. You read in scriptures about wars all of the time. You read about countries that set against each other. There has never, as my granddad said earlier, there has never been peace on this earth except for one time. That was in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a place of perfection, a place of purity. And I don't have time this morning to try to convince you that we're sinners. We're all sinners. We know that when Adam fell from the happy and holy state there in the Garden of Eden, there had to be something that brought us back to God. And the Lord instituted His commandments. He instituted the ceremonial and the moral law. He instituted those things to be a schoolmaster to us that would point us to the need of a risen Savior. And it did that. There are many things in the scriptures that talk about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the law, and how that it had to be fulfilled. But you see, there's not one person living today or has been or will be that could ever fulfill the law except for one. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. You see, the Christ child was not something that everybody was just looking for there in Bethlehem. Even though Micah had prophesied, there's a little place over there where this child will be born. Now, most of us would agree, if there's a king or a queen or a prince or one of them having a child, they don't have them be born in a little bitty town. Most of them are born in great places. Oh, if it was today, why, we'd be hearing all about it on the news. These royal people, they get together and they have their children. That's all you hear about on CNN and Fox News for days. The baby's born, and guess what? It's just a little baby. It's just exactly what you were expecting. But these people were not expecting a baby to be the king of Israel, to be the one that would bring peace to the nations. They weren't expecting that. Oh, but that unassuming package, it brought peace to the world. As we sing these songs about peace on earth and goodwill to men and all of these things, there's only one thing that can bring people peace. You think about today, as John was talking about to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as beholding the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Isaiah, the first chapter, he says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." What takes away our sins? We've talked about it plenty of times. You read over in the Old Testament, and every year they had an atoning sacrifice that had to be given. And as I thought about last night as I was laying there trying to go to sleep, you just imagine every year knowing that was coming up. You just knowing that on that day that there was going to be an atoning sacrifice made for your sins. But you see, it was a yearly thing. It had to be done over and over and over and over until, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away our sins." As I thought on this, I thought about that little baby. Well, when they took that little baby there in Bethlehem, and the Scripture says there was no room in the inn. There wasn't even a place for him. They had to take him over to a little stable and put him there. Has that really changed today? There's really no room for Christ anymore. There's really no place for Him in our lives, in our homes. There's no place for a Christ. But He still came anyways. And as I thought about this little baby being born there, those people had no idea. They had heard all of their lives, there is a king that is coming. They were looking for someone to rise up and be the king. They were looking for him. Maybe to rebel against the government and turn Israel back. That's what they were looking for. And there's a song that the Casting Crowns sing while they were sleeping. "Oh, little Bethlehem, while you sleep, the Savior of the world is born." As I finally did drift off to sleep, and I woke up fairly early this morning, I didn't sleep real well, I thought about that night and how it must have been. We talked Wednesday night about Mary and how she was chosen to be the mother of Christ, to be the mother of the Savior of the entire world, and how just for a few moments after He was born, she must have looked at Him as just her little child. Yet He had a mission to go on. He had something far greater than to just be the carpenter's son. Yet He wasn't the carpenter's son. He had a far greater mission than to just stay in Bethlehem. Oh, He was going to be the Savior of the world. And as John looked up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away our sins." We look around us today and people are looking at everything to take the hurt away. You know what sin is? It is a callous on society. It is the very disease that shakes our society to the core today. If Adam had never transgressed in the Garden of Eden, you know what we would be? We would be perfect even unto today. But you see, long before I was ever created, long before you were ever created, long before the Bible had ever begun to be written, long before the world had ever been formed, the God of heaven knew this. He knew that He would create a group of people. And He knew that just exactly when He created them that they would fall. And I heard someone preach this week. I looked up an old sermon and we talked a little bit about it on Wednesday night. The Determinate Counsel. And as I listened to that sermon, Brother Darrell Hicks preach about them deciding to send the Son of God, as they looked all over heaven to find one thing to satisfy every requirement that it would take to bring someone back from death to life, they could only find one thing to do it. And it was the Son of God. And as He stood up, and I can only imagine the day that they decided, I don't know that they were sitting around in a meeting hall and someone looked over and said, you know, you've got to be the one to go. It can't be any of us, but you're perfect. You can go. I don't know necessarily how all of that took place. But as Darrell preached that sermon, he said, I can just see the Son of God stand up, take off the robe of immortality, and put on the robe of mortality. Be willing to go to a sinful world, but yet be not seen. Be born of a virgin. You remember, sin is carried through the male seed. It is the Adamic covenant, the Adamic sin that makes all of us sinners. It's because of Him that we're in the shape that we are. And He stood up and He went. And He came in an unassuming package. How many of us look at the littlest present under the Christmas tree and say, oh, I don't want that one. Everybody always frowns on the little presents. They don't want them. They want the biggest thing that you've got, the most expensive thing that you can find, and put it under the tree, wrap it up, make it pretty, and everybody's satisfied. That's what they were looking for. But you know what they got? They got to behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You think about what Simeon must have saw over in the Gospel of Luke. I preached on him a couple weeks ago. The Holy Spirit moved upon him. And it said, ye shall not perish until you see the new covenant. And as Jesus was going into the temple to be circumcised, old Simeon was there. And he grabbed that little baby up and he looked into his face and he says, mine eyes have seen salvation. Amen. He wasn't looking at a king wearing robes. He was looking at a baby. And he says, mine eyes have seen salvation. I thought about other times that they have seen salvation. You think about old John the Baptist when he looked up and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He looked and he saw salvation right before his very eyes. I want to read to you one more place this morning. I told you I'm not going to try to take up too much of your time, but you turn to the book of Revelation. John the Revelator was caught up on the Isle of Patmos, and he looked and he saw certain things that the Lord allowed him to see. And I imagine that this must have been what it was like before the Lord consented to go. People were looking all over heaven. There was the book with the seven seals. And nobody could open the book. There was not one worthy to open it. This is what John said, fifth chapter of the book of Revelations. He said, and I saw on the right of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John says he wept because no man could open this book or to read it or to look upon it until. One of the elders saith unto me, who? He said unto John, weep not, don't cry. Why? Because look, Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Turn over to the ninth verse, and it says, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. As he looked around, he couldn't find anybody until the elders stood up and he said, Don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who is that? That's Christ Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is able, he is worthy to open the book with the seven seals. We read all throughout the Scriptures about a little lamb. Scripture says that he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's Revelation 13 and 8. Genesis in 49, it talks about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now we are in the last book of the Bible, and Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Yet they're still harmonizing, even from the very beginning to the very end. It talks about that Lion of the tribe of Judah and how it would come to be the one. Read over in the Scriptures. And it talks about a little virgin being found faithful unto the Lord. And that angel coming to speak to little Mary, him saying, You're the one that carries the Christ child. Most of us have sang the little nursery song, Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Whose fleece was white as snow. Think about that for just one moment. What does the snow, the white fleece, represent? It means and represents sinless. It is sinless. Something perfect. That little lamb that Mary had was the one who would take away the sins of the world. And you say, Preacher, how does this have anything to do with Christmas? Let me introduce a novel concept to the world for just a moment. Whether it be December 25th or March 18th, July 4th, whatever date that you want to set it, you can set it. You can set it next week, the week before. You can set it any day that you want to. And we can still have Christmas. We have it on December 25th. Somebody set that a long time ago. Why they chose that, I don't know. But they did. And so today, this season, boy, it seems like after October, after Halloween anymore, it's all about Christmas. People are running around, they're buying Christmas gifts, they're putting lights on the trees, and guess what? I'm guilty of doing the exact same thing. I love a Christmas tree about as much as anything. We look around us and we see all of these things that we say make Christmas. I enjoy the gifts. I'll just be quite honest with you. I enjoy them. I enjoy every minute of open presence with my family. I think that's a wonderful thing that we do. But if you took all of those away, if you took the lights off the trees, if you took the trees away, which really come out of different heritages and different religious groups, you can take all of that away. But without Christ being born, celebrating a season like that we have means nothing. Because it is His birth, His coming to a world to save lost people is the reason that we can celebrate today. You ask Preacher, what does being lost, what does being a sinner have to do with Christmas? Talk about an unassuming package. I'm going to close with this thought. If you'll give me just a few more minutes of your time. Most of y'all heard this several times. When I was a little boy, I was carried to church all of my life. Faithfully taken to church. And I had heard all of my life about salvation. And how wonderful that it was. When I was growing up, people shouted the very name of Christ. They wanted to exalt Him. They looked happy. And as you're a little child, and you get up on Christmas morning, you're just excited. Have you ever watched a little child as they get up and they run to the living room to see all the presents that are there. The joy and the excitement that's there. Oh, it's beautiful. As you get older, the presents don't excite you as much as giving things to other people that excite you. I get joy out of watching what everybody else gets, to see the smiles on their faces. But I remember correlating those two things, thinking those people at church, they are so happy. Even when things are bad, they're happy. And then one day, the Lord came by. And He said, you know what? You're separated from Me. There was a void in my heart that I couldn't fill. You could have filled it with every present that you could have fit in our house, and it would not have made a difference to me. It was hurting on the inside. I spent a long time in that condition. Until one day, July 14th of 2004, Christmas Day came for a little boy. A little boy who knelt before the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. And He didn't offer me an iPad or a flat screen television. All that He had was salvation. And that's exactly what I got. And it's a peace that lasts, a peace that will stand, and praise God. One day after a while, I'll get to walk down the streets of gold and behold the Lamb of God who took my sins away. Christmas might be December 25th, but July 14th of 2004, on an old altar there at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church, I got the greatest thing I've ever been given. As a little boy, I got things for Christmas, broke them before I even knew what was going on good. But guess what? It's never gone away. And I believe this morning, it'll never leave me. Sister Georgia said, the Lord will not leave us nor forsake us. And I believe that. I'm glad this morning that as John looked up and he said, behold, or look, Lamb of God that takes away sins. You know, John didn't even realize at first who it was, but he knew upon looking at Him. And you go over a couple verses of Scripture and it says that the dove descended and the Spirit of the Lord, it didn't say it descended with Him. It says it abode on Him. He could tell it was Christ. I didn't have to wonder the night that I got saved who it was. You didn't have to tell me. I knew who it was. We've got one verse of Scripture I want to read in the same chapter we started. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. An unassuming package. On this side of eternity, He never wore robes like you and I would expect a king to wear. He didn't have a big crown that He wore. And He didn't have a royal procession quite like the ones of our time period have. Didn't have those things. It was an unassuming package this time, but the next time, it won't be an unassuming package. The Scripture says that He shall descend with a shout. The trump of God shall sound and He shall return. Those men of Galilee, they stood gazing upward and the Lord spoke to them and He said, or the angel of the Lord spoke to them and He said, why, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing upward for this same Jesus that you saw go away? He shall come again in like manner. He came one time to die for you and I. But the next time He's coming for me. As I stand before you this morning, I am thankful for a Savior. I want to end with this. Had Christ came as a baby, died, and that had been the end, He wouldn't have mattered. You see, Christmas is wonderful. But you see, it takes the death, the burial, and the resurrection to make my God, my Savior, who that He is. This was a supernatural birth. And someday, He would look down on a little boy and He'd give him a supernatural gift that would stay with me. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away sins. If you still have presents to open today, if you look around, Don't grab for the big ones. Sometimes it's the unassuming package that makes all the difference. There are people today, and I respect all religions. I respect people, what they believe. You can believe what you want to. I'm not going to argue with anybody. There are people today that celebrate different holidays around this time. You've got different ones. One of the ones that they celebrate, and it started last night, would have been Hanukkah. There are people that believe that Christ or the King still hasn't come. And if that's what they choose to believe, they will just have to choose to believe that. But we know by faith that He has come. Oh, come, let us adore Him and praise His holy name. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away our sins. While we stand together and while we sing, I wish each and every one of you a very happy and a Merry Christmas today. While we stand together.